As war engulfs the Middle East and parts of Africa, there are now over 50 million refugees worldwide.
Every night, hundreds of migrants hang out by this fence, which stretches for a couple of kilometers, in the hope that they'll get a chance to jump over that fence, and then hopefully onto a lorry.
On this week's In Focus, we're in the French port town of Calais, where over 1,000 migrants are attempting the perilous journey across the channel to England.
You know, sometimes when I see the dog, you know, in the house, they have more happy life than them.
Every day, thousands of trucks from across Europe and beyond make their way to the French port of Calais. From there, they board ferries, leaving every 45 minutes to England. For years, some of these lorries have not only been carrying goods, but also people. And now, as war ravages many parts of Africa and the Middle East, thousands more migrants are trying to make the perilous journey across the channel. It's now not so easy for the authorities to ignore them. Just behind the port, we went to speak to some of them. 50 meters down the road, some migrants had prized open a lorry and were climbing inside. Even in broad daylight, scenes like this are normal here.
How are you going to get to England now then?
I try. I want to stay here. I want a place now. I want to stay here, but it's difficult. They don't care about us. We live in the street. We have no home. We have no place. We have nothing to eat. So we think if you arrive in England, we think it is they care about us. They give us home, some place to sleep, something to eat.
These migrants are from Sudan. Most refused to show their faces on camera.
Because we colonized it before by English, so we think England can understand our problem early. And it's known from those people who passed from here to England, they got their documents within a short period of time. That's why we want the document. Just we want document, we want to feel safe, we want to be people with nationality. We don't be a lost one without anything.
What happened in your country?
It's war. They kill our people. They kill my family. So for that reason, I escaped to Libya.
This is my way to here. This is the sea from Libya, that means.
And what was Libya like?
As a hill.
Hell.
Like a hill. Then.
From Sudan, they crossed the desert into Libya, the country of choice for Africans fleeing north. Since the fall of Gaddafi, Libya has descended into near chaos, making it easy for human traffickers to work, but also making it far more dangerous.
Yeah, it is very dangerous, but I have no choice. Libya also like Darfur, they kill us.
In Libya at the moment, it's still a war zone. They don't like black people there either.
Yeah,
they
never like black people. They kill us. They kill many, many people. I know 10 friends from me, they kill him in front of my eyes.
The Libyan rebels?
Yeah, in Libya. Now Libya is more dangerous than Darfur.
Je crois qu'il y a une conjonction de plusieurs facteurs, de plusieurs raisons. Il y a d'abord un certain nombre de zones de conflit qui se développent au même moment dans différentes régions, au Moyen-Orient, en Afrique du Nord. Un pays comme la Libye, qui était avant un pays dans lequel les migrants restaient, parce que économiquement, ils avaient des possibilités de travail sur place. Ce pays-là ne permet plus aux migrants de rester. Donc il y a aussi une émigration qui allait vers la Libye, qui ne reste plus en Libye et qui continue son chemin vers l'Europe.
If they survive the desert and the dangers of Libya, perhaps the most perilous part of their journey is next, the crossing of the Mediterranean. Not a month goes by without a new disaster being reported as their boats capsize.
I don't have any precise number, but we know that we can talk about thousands of people. They are dying in the Mediterranean because they take more and more risk and because they really want to go in Europe.
With 100,000 such migrants making it to Europe this year alone, the few thousand or so who try to make it to England is but a drop in the ocean. But in few other places is the problem so striking.
And at night?
Some people, they eat from the rubbish, you know? We have nothing, we have no money, we have nothing. 5 months you sleep in the street, it is difficult, very bad. You can't sleep one night in the street. They have no choice. If you stay here, you can die. Yeah. You know the winter is coming.
Guys, please say thank you with a big smile, okay? 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 You got it?
Down the road, there are a precious few who are helping the migrants and giving out free food.
La municipalité ne veut pas de migrants dans Calais, donc ils sont rejetés à l'extérieur. Ils vivent dans la jungle là-bas, qui est là-bas. Vous avez vu peut-être qu'il y a des enfants, des femmes, et ils sont à peu près 600 ici, je crois, ou quelque chose comme ça, quoi. Donc c'est très dur pour eux, ouais. C'est très très dur, parce qu'ils ont pas, ils sont dans des conditions de vie très pénibles. Donc on essaie de soulager un peu, mais c'est, normalement ça serait à l'État de faire quelque chose.
Good morning, good morning, how are you? Good morning, hello. They don't have human rights here, really. The woman, you know, sleeping in the jungle, and sometimes they are, you know, raped or whatever. It's horrible. I'm sorry, but they are not, you know, sometimes when I see the dog, you know, in the house, they have more happy life than them. Like people say here is misère du monde. It means the really poorest place in the world, but it's true. And unfortunately, some people are getting really aggressive, you know, like fascist, and you know.
Yeah. This doesn't feel so like hard. France.
Yeah, no, fascist, can you believe that?
A fascist rally in Calais. Anti-immigrant sentiment has been rising in Europe for years. The rally ended violently. There will be more rallies like this. Back near the port, we were invited to see the migrants' homes. They call it the jungle. Many have been here for months, men, women, children, Sudanese, Eritrean, Syrian and Afghans. They make do as best they can and have even built a temporary mosque.
Before I'm arriving here, just I am thinking a well life here. But after I'm arriving here. I know life of danger here. There is hungry, there is cool, life in the jungle is this bad.
I used to work in a war context, or of course in a very poor country, and for sure it reminds me some situation like this, because we observe people with a family, with child, with sick woman and pregnant woman. They are just living outside without nothing.
And the police, how bad are the police?
Police is a problem. But police problem, you are breathing a chemical.
They spray you?
Yeah, spraying by chemical, right? Yeah. When you're getting in the lorry, you are spraying on the eyes, on your face. A problem.
Driving around the port of Calais, it's not hard to find police rounding up migrants. They find them in lorries, often spraying them or beating them to get them out. They then release them, and the cycle begins again. The police have also been criticized for evicting migrants who take over empty buildings for shelter.
For those up in arms about the treatment of migrants here in Calais, the police brutality, the evictions, the lack of food and shelter, the first port of call is usually the Calais authorities themselves. We're now off to see the deputy mayor.
The Calais police have come under a lot of criticism for spraying people and beating people. That is happening, right? The police are being too brutal.
You've never seen smugglers attacking a police car with four policemen inside doing their jobs when you've got 50 smugglers arriving at 2 in the morning, when you've got four policemen injured. Don't you think they are entitled to defend themselves? What do we do? Do we say, okay, we don't put any police force on the port? We don't put any police anywhere?
The deputy mayor tells me he gets almost no help from the French or the British state, and that his city, one of the poorest in France, is left to deal with the problem by themselves.
We can't take Europe responsibilities as a city. Nobody wants it. You go 5 miles away, the mayor of the city 5 miles away is giving a lot of advices to us, a lot. When we tell him, help us, take a part of it, no way. No way. It's so easy to say it's your problem. No, it's the problem for all of us. And mainly for the migrants themselves.
Although local journalists and human rights groups continue to criticize the local authorities, the deputy mayor clearly had a point. In Melilla, the Spanish-controlled enclave in North Africa, migrants are in an endless fight to climb the fences and make it onto European soil. In the Mediterranean, Italian, Cypriot and Maltese vessels pick up migrants, sometimes still alive, sometimes dead.
This thing should be dealt at the European level, and I bet there were not, from my point of view, enough discussion about how to help Italian government or Greece government to deal with the massive arriving of people, and Europe should share the capacity to integrate those people who are leaving for very legitimate reason.
For the first time since World War II, there are now more than 50 million refugees worldwide. The situation is getting worse. Wars in the Middle East and Africa, the major causes. With images like these, it's easy to think that Europe is bearing the brunt of the crisis, but of course, it's not.
Les décideurs des politiques ici ont peur de l'appel d'air. Ils considèrent que si on est sur une politique plus ouverte, du coup, tout le monde va s'engouffrer. Ce n'est pas vrai. Ce n'est pas vrai. 96% des personnes déplacées dans le monde, réfugiés ou migrants, restent dans les pays du Sud ou dans les zones de voisinage. Il n'y a que 3% des personnes migrantes qui viennent en Europe. Donc déjà, on n'est pas dans cette logique-là d'invasion. Ce n'est pas vrai.
Vast city-like camps are dotted around East Africa, and neighboring countries are hosting over 250,000 refugees fleeing the conflict in Syria. Only a tiny fraction try to make it to Europe. A squat in Calais, taken over by migrants with the help of local activists. At least here there is some shelter from the coming cold. The police are threatening to close it down. A Syrian woman tells us her story.
بعدين بيتي يعني بعتي درفوت على السقب لأنه جيش الحرك اللي قاعد فيه وشو اسمه لحقت ابني على القاهرة وابني بده يجي على بريطانيا يعني مشان يأسس حاله جينا بعدين لهون طلعنا بالبحر ضلينا 6 أيام بالبحر تقريبا وجينا لهون قعدنا 3 شهور إلنا نصب علينا أول مرة وتاني مرة وثالث مرة وبعدين ابني راح ل يعني سافر على لندن وأنا هلا قاعدة هون بالخيمة لحالي وما معي مصاري يروح على بريطانيا وأنا تاركة جوزي من 23 سنة تقريبا تاركته وابني وحيدي ما في إلا ابني يعني وبدي الحق ابني ونحن قاعدين هون لا وملا معنا لا مصاري ولا شيء نصب علينا هاي هي
So many of these migrants have the same story. Young men will try and jump onto lorries on the top or underneath, but for women and for families, it's far too dangerous. So for them, the only option is to pay human traffickers. But sometimes, often, these human traffickers will simply run off with their money, 500 euros or 1,000 euros, leaving them here, stranded. So tell me what happens when you give money to the mafia?
When you give money for the mafia will give me, go with me to the jungle at night, maybe 11 or 12 at night. Then at 2 or 3 o'clock at night, mafia, put about 15 or 17 people inside the refrigerator. The refrigerator maybe
go the lorry, which is a refrigerator truck.
Yeah. When the lorry is go, maybe go to the tankier or to the Cali, or sometimes my friend go the lorry while it was going to Russia. After 6 months, he checking in the lorry. Where please stop? I have nothing. I will die. After 6 hours, the driver open the refrigerator. Whoa! Where are you? What are you doing here? I am going to England. I am not to England. I want to go to Russia. Oh, this is a big problem.
Every day and every night, the ritual is the same for many, to try their luck on the lorries. Most have tried dozens of times, many have succeeded. 7 this year have died trying. Finding it hard to believe how they could get past the ferry security, I met with Philippe, a local journalist.
There are thousands of lorries each day. The people who control are human beings, so at one moment their attention is not so good and so people can escape.
I noticed that only a few migrants jumped on the lorries at a time, presumably to make it easier to hide and to not be detected.
They only let a few people in at a time, the migrants, is that right?
Yes, but we see also sometimes groups of 15 or 20 persons, usually with smugglers. That's also a reason why we think that there are also complicities in the harbour, in the controls. Because it's not a good strategy when the controls are scanner, CO2, heart beating, more people, more detectable. So it's not a good strategy to go in big group like 15 or 20.
And do sometimes the drivers know what's happening?
Sometimes they see. Of course, we know that some drivers are paid. As far as we know, usually when a driver is paid for that, it takes the people away from in another place
outside
before
Calais.
Calais. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
There's no police around. Where
yeah,
it's quiet,
yeah, so. Yeah.
Just as they closed the door, the driver came back. Surely he must have known what was going on. But for most drivers, it simply isn't worth the hassle to get the migrants out of their trucks. Best to leave it to security. We decided to follow the truck as it left. The migrants on board will have tried this many times before, this time hoping that they would strike it lucky. The lorry turned off the motorway. It could have been going to the port and on to England, but just as likely, it could have been going the other way, on to Moscow or Berlin. In 6 hours or so, they will find out.
It's worth and worth. It's changing every day. We don't know at this moment what will happen within 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month.
In a recent agreement, Britain has promised 15 million euros to Calais in recognition that it is the UK's problem too. What is the money to be used for? Building new security fences.
Their destination here in Calais, their destination is England. So they've got nothing to lose. They've traveled thousands of kilometers and they arrive here 20 miles away from their dream. I don't think that would be fences, that would be anything that can destroy their dreams.
Je pense que les politiques européennes ne sont pas en matière d'asile et d'immigration adaptées à la situation. Parce qu'on est dans une logique d'Europe forteresse, Europe qui ferme ses frontières, en voyant arriver la pression migratoire et la pression des flux migratoires, alors même que ces gens-là sont des gens en demande de protection internationale. C'est pas en fermant les frontières de plus en plus qu'on va résoudre le problème de gens qui sont en train de fuir des zones de conflit ou de persécution ou l'extrême pauvreté.
You can build walls all around Europe. Whatever the height of the walls are, do you think those people will not try any way to leave their countries? So let's work as well. It's all together. That won't be done tomorrow, of course, but it's not only here, it's also in their countries, and that's a long-term job.
For the deputy mayor, as long as Western countries help to fuel conflict, the problem will only get worse.
I'm saying for ages, politicians should be much more courageous than for plenty other reasons than crude oil. We only go there for interests, for some countries' interests. Bloody hell, why still the wars was still persecution?
A common misconception about migrants is that most of them are simply economic migrants looking for a more prosperous life in the West. But it is only in times of conflict that refugee numbers explode. Indeed, all the migrants we spoke to came from countries currently at war. Many spent a lot of money just to get this far.
To pass this sea and to pay sometimes more than 11,000 euro to reach here. If we are searching for food, 11,000 euro is enough to open such a strong or a big project in our country. But we are not searching for food or shelter or such thing. We are here for safe. Just we want to live in a justice place, secured. They may not understand our problem too, as well, that means. Because we have seen most of the French people I think they don't understand us. Even if they understand us, of course, they would make a solution till today.
Across France, the far-right political party, Le Front National, is growing in popularity. Some fear it could actually win the next election. In central Calais, I was expecting hatred towards the migrants.
Ah, de plus en plus, oui. Le nombre augmente, même si il y a beaucoup des migrants qui étaient cachés pendant un moment, et qu'aujourd'hui ils sont peut-être un peu plus dans la lumière, il y en a quand même de plus en plus, parce qu'on les voit traverser la ville, on les voit arriver par groupes absolument incroyables sur les autoroutes ou en longeant les voies ferrées, on les voit grimper dans les camions, ce qu'on ne voyait pas auparavant.
Je pense que c'est très triste de voir tous ces gens sur la route et qui ne savent pas où aller. Et personne n'a rien à proposer pour tous ces gens qui n'ont plus de situation, qui n'ont plus de vie, qui n'ont plus de famille et qui sont raquettés à tous les coins de rue. Parce que les passeurs en profitent bien.
Some people won't speak to us here, obviously. Sometimes immigration is a rather difficult subject. We just spoke to one man who said that he recently appeared on French television saying that there were too many racists in Calais. The next day, his car was smashed.
Et saccagé, comment saccagé?
Les carreaux pétés, les essuie-glaces cassés, les pneus crevés. C'est récent. Mais quand vous voyez qu'il y a beaucoup de racistes comme ça à Calais, ça fait peur quand même.
Far from hatred, everyone I spoke to on the streets seemed genuinely sympathetic to the plight of the migrants. But across the continent, public opinion is generally against allowing more migrants to come. It's a difficult political problem to solve.
Je crois que c'est une erreur du gouvernement français que de vouloir suivre l'opinion publique. C'est-à-dire que le gouvernement français dit l'opinion publique n'est pas prête à accueillir plus d'étrangers. En période de crise économique et sociale, l'étranger est vu comme un peu le bouc émissaire et comme la personne qu'il faut rejeter. Donc, de mon point de vue, le gouvernement manque de courage en ne posant pas des actes forts d'une politique qui aille à rebours de l'opinion, du sentiment de l'opinion publique en général.
Back at the jungle, a few good people continue to help the migrants with little or no help from European governments.
It's not a problem of just France or England. It's not that simple. It's a world problem, really. So what I'm going to say is that really we need help. Really, we need help, people who really care about migrants. And, you know, we have to save migrants. We have to save France. We have to save England. We have to, you know, save everyone.
And on the side of the road, day and night, migrants continue to try to make the final step of their journey.
Do you know people have got to the other side?
Yep, of course.
How do you know?
I know that he didn't come back here.
But they might have died.
Never. Some of them I have checked the Facebook and I got, oh, we did it.
Despite the hardship, there is a strange optimism amongst many. We've tried and failed dozens of times, they say. Next time, we will make it.